That's right, this is Larry Herbeck's Box Live's Major Nelson, and this is my show, and this is show number 212, recording this February 18th, 2007, Seattle, Washington. Show number 212. 212, that's the, used to be the only area code in New York, if I remember correctly. It was actually my room number in college many years ago, just remember that one. Got a pretty good show for you today. Well, I always say that, but I really mean it this time, genuinely. Actually, I do need to put a disclaimer up front, and that is if you do not understand or cannot read all directions, cautions, and warnings, do not use this product. Decided I'm going to put disclaimers in this show because, you know, whenever you travel around the world or wherever you go, whenever you buy a product, there's always a disclaimer. And I just have this collection of disclaimers that I've been writing down when I travel around. And there's the strangest one, beware of owls. I don't remember where that one was from. Approved for veterans. Don't know where that one's from. Anyway, I have all a list up here, so if you have any disclaimers, send them in, and I'll use them on the show, and I will give you the appropriate credit. All right, so this show is, as you can tell by the title, I've been talking about it for a couple, 3 or 4 weeks, Crackdown. Crackdown, which is being released in just a couple days in North America, and then around the country over the next 7 days. I have an interview with one of the product managers there. But a little separate prize is I have a little interview I did with Scott Henson. Now, those of you that don't know Scott, he's a, kind of a platform evangelist. He works a lot with our developers and he's a regular on the show. I've probably had him on 5 or 6 times and, it's always good to have him on. And I kind of called him up and said, hey, you want to come on the show again? You want to just sit around and talk about some games? And so he's always up for that. So I've got him on the show, but, I'll get to him in just a moment. I want to talk about the Xbox Rewards. The Xbox Rewards program is a program that was launched last week for people in the U.S. I'm not going to take too much time to talk about this because it only affects our U.S. folks. But the team that's working on that, which is our marketing team, which is not E's team, they are having some issues with that site, or they were having some issues with the site. So they're totally aware of it and they're working on it, but I just want to make sure that I addressed it here. Unfortunately, I don't have any visibility into the issues because, again, their servers aren't sitting with ours, so I can't just walk down and go ask the operations guys. It's a little different. So I'm sending those guys frequent emails and letting them know, and they're keeping an eye on the blog here so they know when things are wrong and they're fixing them. So I just want to make sure you guys know that, yes, they're being addressed. As far as support, you know, if you signed up and you were able to get in and you got some points, does that count? I have no idea. I have no idea. I'll be more than happy to ask, and I'll make sure that I get some clarity on that for you guys, but really, no, really, I have no idea. I gotta be honest with you. So that's it. So let's go through some of the news. One of the news is, I saw this, that the Zune now works with, the Zune remote control actually now works with the Xbox 360. I don't want to say if, is it now works with the Xbox 360? Does it, you know, how do you put that? So, I'll put a link up on the blog to that. You know, I'm doing this new thing now where every, you know, I use Google Reader. And so Google Reader is how I kind of consume a lot of my RSS feeds. I think I have like 150, 200 of them. So every day I go in there, you know, or twice a day, I'll kind of go in and scan through some things and see what goes on and picks up some good news points. But what I'm doing is, if you haven't tried Google Reader, it's kind of cool. So you can actually star things or share them out. So I actually go through and I star different things for this section of the show and I talk about them, in addition to other things as well. But what I was asking is, you know, should I share some of my items out? Would you guys like to see what I'm reading? Stuff that maybe I don't cover in the show. I don't know. We'll see. Let me know what you think of that one. Feel free to post that one. I saw this over in Eurogamer that Quake Wars is coming to the Xbox 360. I don't like talking about rumors and whatnot, but I think this is, I have no idea. I just happened to see this over there, but I thought it was interesting, so I started. And then, of course, the other thing was that the Guitar Hero, which is coming out who knows when, in a few months, I hope, is going to have the most downloadable content ever. That was the quote. That was an interesting quote given by somebody over there at Red Octane, or maybe it was Activision, who now owns them. So that's good news for you Guitar Hero fans. And we've got a bunch of them around the store. So the funny thing that happened this week, a few weeks ago, I posted the image where the Gran Turismo HD was using some PGR3 imagery. Due to some I don't know what that was due to. I never found out. No one's certainly not going to tell me about that. But this one's even more crazy. This one is the fact that, you know, the PlayStation 3 is going on sale in Australia sometime soon. And, yes, Australia. I love you guys down there in Australia. And they were in a this image. I think I read this on Joystick. They're in some folks are in Harvey Norman, which is a store. And there's a you know, kind of a picture cutout PlayStation 3 coming soon, so on. So pre-order yours today. And they peeked around the corner, and it was actually an Xbox 360 with this PS3 wrapped around it. You know, the kind of a graphical piece of paper. It was a piece of paper. So that was pretty funny. How does this stuff happen? I mean, really, how does this stuff happen? Also the Gra 2 site is up. For those of you that are really into Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, the next installment of the game is coming out hopefully soon. The demo's up on Xbox Live Marketplace for you folks to download, free demo. But the website is now up, so feel free to go over and take a look at that. And then, let's see. Oh, this is actually interesting. Xbox 360 Fanboy, which is a, run kind of by the same coalition that runs the runs Joystick. They have an interesting article up, or they linked off to an interesting article. Actually, it was GameStooge. So 360 Fanboy posted this, but GameStooge posted it. The top 10 rejected achievements. That may be worth a spin if you want to go take a look at that. Top 10 rejected achievements. What would your top 10 rejected achievements be? Boy, I got to stop recording these things so early in the morning. I'm like totally out of it all of a sudden. I don't know. All right. Also, the thing that I enjoyed, there was this story about who posted this story? Oh, it was Motley Fool, and it was about the Xbox 360, the Wii, and the PS3. And let me pull up the headline here, because the headline's actually kind of interesting. And it was I'll give you the PG rated version of the headline. But basically, they rated the three consoles based on, would you marry it? Would you date it, or would you kill it? So apparently the Xbox 360 ended up in the date mode. So even though we've sold 10.4 million units, we are considered only a date. So that's what that means. So I'm sure there's other variables in here just than the fun factor. And then, of course, they say that the Wii, you should marry the Wii, because they say the Wii just rocks, and it's inexpensive, and that's pretty much it. And then the PS3, well, they say kill it. But who am I to say that? What else is going on here? Oh, I've never checked out all the date, marry, and kill series. Date Sirius, marry Apple, kill XM. I don't think those three are similar. Date Yahoo, marry Google, kill Microsoft. Right. Okay. So anyway, that's a fun little thing. If you're into investing, you know, Motley Fool is a huge site there. That's fun too. So what I want to talk about now is, I'm going to lead off with Scott Henson, because then we get into the Crackdown video, because Scott and I talk about some really interesting things up front. And then we kind of go right into the crackdown. I got to stop recording these so early in the morning. You got to email me and say, Larry, please don't record these so early in the morning. But Scott Henson was kind enough to just sit down with me for about a half hour. And you have to remember, I usually record these on like Friday afternoon, you know, just a couple of days ago before I record this segment. I record this segment on Sunday. And then I record the other segments, you know, like late Friday afternoon. And then I bring them in and transfer them to the computer and insert them into the show. So Scott gets a little loopy here. And I actually, there's a whole segment that I had to cut out because we were actually laughing on the floor for like 10 minutes. All we did was laugh. So I had to like cut that entire segment out. And so someday I'll air that segment for you, because it's actually pretty funny. But what I can tell you is, you'll hear me talk about this right at the beginning of the interview. I was in his office waiting for him to show up, and he left his Xbox 360 on. So I changed his motto to MajorNelson.com. So go look at his gamer tag. His gamer tag is Bear. And I'll put a link to that up on the blog. And you'll notice that his motto has been changed. Of course, don't tell him, because that's half the fun. But so here's my interview with Scott Henson. And you'll hear right at the beginning of the interview where I talk about what I did. Of course, I didn't tell him, but now you know. Here's Scott. Back on the show, Scott Henson. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Major. It's so good to be back. Man, I really love talking to you and spending time with you.
So I have to come over to a different building, because you're in a different building than I am.
And that's right. But you know what? It's good that now that you've reached the status you have, so you can get a limo over here.
Yeah, right. I'm schlepping over here by myself. I was just commenting, you know, because I was sitting in your office before you came on, before you walked in. I'm stuttering for a minute because before this interview that I run it, I'm going to tell the story of what I did in your office that you're not going to find out about.
Oh, no.
So,
see, now that's not good.
So everyone is going to hear it. You're going to have to listen to this interview to find out.
I'm just left with that subtle intimidation of what you may have done in
my
office.
Into your office because I've been over here before, and it's like usually it's jammed with – you usually had a PS2 in here, and you had a PS3 in here. You had a couple of TVs. You really had a lot of stuff, a lot of tech going on here. And I came in – and now it's all like one computer, one Xbox 360. It's very zen-like. I believe the term I used was girl-like.
I don't know. Is that a term you use? Is that a term you're familiar with?
And I walked around the corner, and right next to the door is – can you hear this?
Hold on a second. It's not doing it now. See, it's
– Hey, don't – what are you
– You got one of those little –
no, see, that's not very tranquil.
You got your little zen garden here with the water. Hear that water?
Yeah, see, it's gurgling now. You've it made sounds my like, little water.
It sounds like we're recording this in the men's room. So you've got your little Zen garden thing going on here, and I don't know what's going on.
Speaking of which, that running water.
So you I walked in, I'm sitting here hanging out, and you got this big poster of Link.
Yeah, so that's
Zelda's Link.
You may remember the party you blew me off for.
Yeah, so talk about that party.
So we
2 weeks ago,
my wife and I work with a local charity.
Yes, which I got to commend you, and I'm not busting your balls here. You do a lot of work with charity, and I really commend you for that.
Well, thank you.
I really mean that. Yeah, you really do some cool stuff.
We do. And actually, it's really cool because a lot of the work that we do is focused around games. Mm-hmm. We've done some really cool events around Halo and with the launch of Xbox 360, and this year. We reached out to our local Nintendo brothers,
yep.
And we said, hey, why don't we do a Wii 60 party? Wouldn't that be fun? So we basically took our house and turned it over to 40 people and put on a big contest where right. We had Wii stations everywhere and 360 stations everywhere.
Did you post these photos anywhere? I haven't seen any photos. You sent me the photos of the setup,
okay,
but I've never seen the photos of the actual party.
Yeah, the setup was pretty funny too, yeah, including the elk.
Right.
So yeah, I'll send you the photos. Yeah, there are photos.
Yes. But that's where that came from?
Yeah, so the what happened was is the good folks at Nintendo and then we the good folks here at Xbox donated a bunch of stuff for raffle.
Right.
And so we used that money from the raffle to actually go back to the charity.
What's the charity?
And the charity's called Encompass, okay. And it's a local charity that focuses on families and children. And my wife and I have been very involved with that charity probably for the last 10 years.
Cool.
And so we do lots of fundraiser activities. She's been on the board and helped guide the kind of the strategic direction of that nonprofit for a long time. And that's actually her background is in nonprofit management.
Excellent.
So, yeah, lots of good chocolatey charity goodness at the Bearcat Lodge a couple weekends ago with the Nintendo folks.
So what you're telling me is I missed my opportunity to get a Wii and help out a charity.
Actually, they not only gave away a Wii as a part of that or raffled off a Wii as part of that, they also had a black DS Lite. The Wii came with three extra controllers.
Three?
Three extra controllers, I know, they totally stepped up, so kudos to the Nintendo kids. Three extra controllers and a copy of Zelda, and an extra nunchuck. Hey, not bad.
Right.
And then the DS Lite came with a copy of Mario.
Right.
And a little extra case. So, pretty cool.
Good party.
And so, I didn't win either one of those things. I won a poster of
Link.
Of Link.
Which you've now framed and placed right above Marvin the Martian.
It came framed. I just want to throw that. It wasn't just it came exactly like you see it there.
Oh, Major. It did.
Yeah,
nice
yeah.
Work.
Yeah.
So I wanted. So we want to talk. Every once in a while, I come over here and check in with you. And,
yeah.
And you
Because this is where it's at, man.
Because this is where it's
where
at.
It all happens.
You're working on. What are you working on now?
Well, I actually working on lots of stuff.
Yeah, because I always have to ask that because I kind of know some stuff you're working on that's kind of confidential, so I can't. So I want to. I don't know what's you've lifted the veil on.
So I'm working on the future. How's that? That's right. So we're thinking a lot about live, as always.
As always,
right? And the evolution of live, and lots of stuff that people know about there, and basically creating the YouTube of games on live.
XNA.
That's right, XNA Game Studio.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome stuff.
Are you going to be down at the Developers Conference?
I will be down at the Developers Conference.
Because I think I'm going to go down.
You should go down. That's where, hey, if people want to see where it all happens, it's there. Those are the creators.
And let's be clear, the GDC, the Game Developers Conference, which is in March this year.
Yeah, March 5th through the 9th.
Down in San Francisco.
Yep.
This is not like E3 at all.
No.
This is like E3 without a budget.
Yeah. Well, these are just so we're all clear. I mean, these are the guys that make E3 happen, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, yeah, they may not be the marketing department or the PR department, but they're the reason we have a marketing and PR department.
Right, right.
So yeah, they're the magicians.
So one of the reasons I wanted to come over and talk to you is, in fact, I think the title of the email that I sent you was 1080p.
Hey, it's my favorite topic.
Because 1080p, according to you, is impossible.
Okay. All right. So, look, what did you do? Prepare a plate of crow for me to eat? Is that what you were doing in my office while I was
Well,
here?
Perhaps.
Yeah. So, here, tasty. Yeah. Nice, humble.
So,
pie.
Do you want to give some background on what's going on?
So a couple of things. One, for anyone that may have been harmed by any statements I've made related to 1080p, I want to apologize.
Any animals or humans.
Yeah, any animals or humans or games. And certainly, the key thing that I'd like to get across is I apologize on behalf of the entire game industry for making high definition so confusing, because it shouldn't be.
Yeah, because basically everyone's saying Scott made it confusing.
Right, exactly. And so the 1080p thing, I think, is one of those, you know, classic things that if we sold televisions, we'd be, you know, touting 1080p just like Sony's touting 1080p. And, you know, kudos to them. They need to do that. They have a business behind selling televisions. Go, go, go. That's true HD. But in fact, come on. That's, you know, only part of the equation. You know, 1080p, when I had the interview, I guess it was probably a year ago, that surfaced all the fun pictures on the net that you continually forward
I continue
me.
Forward you.
Yeah.
Sometimes just because.
Just because. Hey, I haven't talked to Scott in a while. Let's remind him of this little 1080p picture. But when that interview happened, you know, one of the things I was trying to convey poorly, I admit, was that knowing what developers want to do with scene complexity and AI and lighting and geometry and all of those things, that 1080p would be pretty much impossible. Of course 1080p is possible, right?
Right.
I mean, you can create a 1080p triangle, right?
It's right.
Not that's not rocket science. And of course, you know, now people are talking about, yeah, my game's 1080p native or whatever. And all I'm going to say is what I've always said is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's 1080p native or 720p. What matters is how it looks on your screen, right? Whether you have a 1080p, 1080i, 720p, 480p, 480i, whatever your screen is it going to look great?
And some of our people actually have 420 screens, you know what I'm saying?
No matter what, Major.
Anyway, I'm sorry, you're on a roll there. I'll step back.
No,
he's on a roll.
It's okay. Your job is to just like, yeah, just keep it rolling. So the only point is like for us, all I want to communicate is it doesn't matter. Like what we do with the scaler and the scaling technology in the box is no matter what TV you got, it's going to look great.
Right.
Right. You don't have to care what the native resolution is. And that's such a, hey, look over here at something that doesn't even matter.
Okay.
Right. So you go look at a 1080p native game and you look at it on a 1080p television and it doesn't look as good as a 720p native game. Well, first of all, What do you really care? Well, you care about the fact that it looks great and you're having a fantastic experience, right? And that's all we're promising to deliver at the end of the day. So whether a game can do 1080p native by pulling off tricks and doing you know, scaling resolution tricks or whatever, it doesn't matter, right? That's it's a pretty
irrelevant. So now instead of 1080p is impossible, it's 1080p doesn't matter. That's the pull quote.
What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter what the frame buffer resolution of a game is in terms of what you're going to get in terms of visual experience.
Okay.
Right? So you go talk to a game developer and they tell you what their frame buffer resolution is. It's not necessarily going to translate the same way a movie does, right?
Right.
You go out and buy a movie, the reason that it looks better in higher resolution is because more pixels actually do matter to the final product.
Is this the Blu-ray HD-DVD conversation? Did we slip into that?
I'd really rather not slip into that if we don't have to.
Because Blu-ray, apparently, from what I read, has won.
We are slipping into it. Oh, Major Nelson. so I think that's fun stuff to read. I don't know one over what.
Hey,
seems like DVDs are selling really well.
I got a question for you. What if – I think someone was trying to explain this to me. What if – and this is kind of crazy.
Bring it.
But what if Sony – and we're going to talk about Sony for a second.
Yeah.
They – you know, people are – they've been talking about Blu-ray and, you know, people are arguably – not having a lot of good games out right now.
I feel a conspiracy.
No, yeah, let's talk about this. So obviously the gamers are saying, oh, there's not a lot of good games out for this right now. You know, they're few and far between. You know, What if this? Do you think that Sony said, "Damn it, we're gonna just what at the expense of our game our game side of the business, we're gonna make Blu-ray a success." Do you know what I'm saying? It's kind of crazy. It's kind of grassy knoll thinking.
Yes, it is grassy knoll thinking. I at the end of the day, they have to create a business that works.
Understood, but that's a big business. That's a big company over there.
I don't think a Blu-ray player with a hard drive in every unit is a business that would
work. Blu-ray, by the spec, I believe, has to have some type of storage. I don't want to. I'm just talking here.
You're making.
No, I'm just talking. No, I'm not. I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
Often.
It seems like selling a game console as a Blu-ray player would just be kind of.
What did you think of that article, that EGM article?
Well, a couple things, right? I mean, you know, I've been at Microsoft for a long time. And
how long? Because this sign says 10 years, the one behind me.
That sign's 3 years old.
So 13 years.
So there you go.
Okay.
So yeah, this is now year 14.
This is year 14.
Yeah. So yeah, a little over 13 years now.
Okay. Anyway.
So I've been at Microsoft for a while, right? And the one of the things that I've really loved is the energy and the, you know, especially in the small groups and when we're, you know, scrappy and trying to do new things and that sort of stuff. But as the company grows and as it becomes successful, one of the things that we have to do is constantly kind of keep ourselves in check about, you know, our humility and just being pragmatic and not getting, you know, too wound up in any success that we might have, but continuing to listen and pay attention to what's
actually
happening.
Our team does that significantly.
Yeah.
Through me, through the way you've, I mean, not just me, but I was just saying.
No, I agree.
All of us are so connected and reading the community and the blogs and the forums and whatnot.
Right. And we believe it, right? I mean, it's not, I mean, we like in our core, we believe that is like critical to the success of what we do. When I read the article, I felt disconnected, with the person being interviewed.
So let me just back up a little. EGM, Electronic Gaming Magazine, on the cover of is it March? It's the one with the Sony PS3 on the cover
it was either February.
That has adorned in vegetables.
That's right.
And it has an interview with Jack Tramiel. Is that
Trenton.
Who's Jack Tramiel? Oh, he was in charge of Atari many years ago. Wow, that's going back. Anyway, so it has an interview with Jack, and
probably because you're playing Paperboy, you know.
Yeah, I was playing Paperboy before he came in. That's right. And so it had an interview, and the interview was an interesting read.
Yeah, so it was right off the launch, right? You're right after the turn of the year here.
Yeah, 2007. It's in January. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, little lead times for the magazines and stuff. And so, it was, you know, hey, a lot of people are criticizing you guys. You know, what do you think? And I think if we would have come off the kind of launch that they just had, you know, for obviously the first few days were amazing, lots of great coverage and lots of great frenzy, but then it quickly turned into a pretty ugly scene. I mean, in terms
for us or them?
For them.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I mean, if we would have had that kind of holiday, I think we would have we'd have come out of holiday with a lot of humility and thinking, okay, what do we need to do,
right?
To, you know, really make this right for gamers, to really make, you know, to like really assess what's going on and understand,
right?
And it just seemed like that was just being completely ignored. That didn't just happen. There aren't PlayStation 3s on shelf everywhere.
You saw the Penny Arcade comic.
Of course, I see PlayStation 3s on shelf everywhere, just like everyone else does. That's what's going on, and so it seemed like there was a little bit of denial about, you know, the current situation. And I can understand why, you know, maybe that you'd kind of want to fool yourself into that. But it just seemed like there's a little disconnect between Jack and the community and what was going on in the community and the concerns of the community.
And that's, I mean, and just to what we talked about a little bit earlier, you're reading the forums.
Sure.
Jay Allard's reading the forums. Peter Moore's reading blogs and forums. We go down to the Target right down the street here all the time and see at the end of the day what's moving.
Of course.
You know, what's selling.
Of course.
And that's the way, one of the many ways we stay in touch.
We try not to just do it, you know, down the street here because,
well, yeah.
You know, it's a Redmond, come on.
Right, exactly. But I mean, we go all over. When I travel, I know that when I go, wherever I'm traveling the world, I always go to a game store and
absolutely
figure out what's
going on.
What's going on.
See how people are talking about stuff. See what they're saying. What do they like? What they don't like? All that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's a data point. So that's kind of crazy.
It was a little surreal reading it. It just made me think, wow. Especially as you think about online, right? I mean, we think obviously maniacally about online because we think it's critical to our long-term success. How the lifeblood of the success there is the community and listening to the community and making sure you're really listening to them. And that kind of actually leads into one of the other things I want to talk about, which is, you know, a lot of the conversations that have happened in the community around GamerScore and microtransactions.
Yeah, let's talk about those.
Yeah, so
I want to examine some of those things.
You really want to put under the
scope? I do. I want to put them under the scope and talk to you about those because I think it's good because you're, you know, in your role, you're talking to a lot of developers and publishers. So you're hearing firsthand what's going on. And not only that, but you're hearing firsthand what's going on or what's going to happen in 3 to 6, 9 months down the line.
Sure.
So you kind of know where things are going.
Sure.
Both for our platform and maybe other platforms.
Maybe. So sometimes, I mean, you know, a lot of times that comes up in terms of what people are asking for and what they're trying to get.
What are they asking for?
Well, it's a whole host of things. There's not like a single thing. You know, that's one of the great things about the industry is there's a lot of great ideas out there that people are working through right now.
But I'm sorry, I totally sidetracked you. I want to get back to the policy issues and the GamerScore stuff.
Sure.
Let's talk about that.
So one of the things that you know, we're constantly evolving, learning, listening, right? That's a key theme. We're talking about the community. Mm-hmm. And as we constantly evolve, learn, and listen, one of the things that you know, came up over last year was GamerScore.
Right.
And how that was given out and, you know, whether you get 1,000 GamerScore per game or how does it work for downloads, that kind of stuff. So, you know, just like any product, you have to put some stakes in the ground when you go ship, and then you figure out did that work or that didn't work. So
yeah, I actually had Aaron Vig VIP on last week.
Yeah.
And he talked about that.
Cool.
And we went through a lot of that, and that was really good feedback from some of the community after the show.
Yep.
Let's talk about Marketplace.
Yeah.
Because I think we covered achievements last week with Aaron, but I want to talk about Marketplace a little bit because I posted last week, I posted the 10 commandments of Marketplace. Or not only that, I actually put it to the community and said, if you could write the rules, and I wanted to be clear, we already have rules in place around Marketplace.
Sure.
What would they be? So let's talk about some of the Marketplace policies.
So again, you know, just like the GamerScore conversation that Aaron had with you last week, 100% informed by the community and their desires. I mean, that's kind of the design point for anything that we do. At the same time, one of the things I want people to understand is we have to figure out how to make this a good business for us and a good business for our partners. Because so, if we make it into a good business, and I'm sure a lot of people are rolling their eyes right now, good business, good business, right?
Right.
But if we can make it into a good business, guess what? It means a lot more content for folks.
Right.
So it actually ends up being great for gamers. Right. So our goal is how do we make it a good business at a really low barrier for gamers?
It's a delicate balance.
It's just tricky balance.
Right.
It's just the hard, cold realities of the world.
Right.
So what we try to do, and we're constantly refining it and changing our approach, is we try to give as much flexibility as we can for all the different ideas that are out there. You asked me, hey, what's next? Well, there's all kinds of fun ideas about, you know, game add-ons and multiplayer modes and all that kind of stuff.
See, people are panicking right now because they're hearing that and they're thinking, oh, my God, they're gonna nickel and dime me and charge me more for those things.
Well,
when it should be on the disc, damn it.
Sure. So back to your policies point.
Right.
All right. Let's go back to our happy place, our safe zone, our little home base
step over
of
here.
Happiness. Right.
Okay.
So as we went through that, and as you know, I am very involved with those processes as one would say
intimately.
Intimately, that's right. Behind the scenes, and so as we worked through that, you know, your 10 commandments mm-hmm. started to be forged. And it just for what it's worth, I mean, we're all gamers too. We all use the service as well. So it's not like, you know, we're doing this without actually.
What I'm doing is I'm actually, your Xbox 360 is on with your gamer tag, which is bear.
And yeah, I love that. I love.
And I'm going to go in here and I'm actually going to go see what your gamer score is. And as of today, you are 5295, which isn't bad. But I also want to go into, I don't want to go in here. I want to go into view the games and I want to see, so you're playing Geo War. Okay, you're playing some games here. You got to work on Root Beer Tapper.
I have to just sit here and like while you're going.
Have you not played Crackdown?
I haven't played Crackdown. Yet.
Oh my God!
I know. I 100% with you. I've played the demo a bit.
Wow,
and it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's an awesome game.
So
yeah, I just
it's out this week.
Yeah.
Or this coming week, I should say.
It's the, yeah, right.
20th.
Yeah, you're right.
Next after the show. But anyway, so you're talking.
So see, games. Could I even say that I've been playing Crackdown? I mean, is that even technically allowed? Do you tell the kids that you've been playing Crackdown?
Well, yeah, because I got the approval to play it.
Oh, okay.
So I've actually played it and unlocked a bunch of achievements. I'm having a blast with it.
Yeah. You see orbs everywhere you go.
Well, I posted that on the blog.
Yeah.
In fact, wherever I go, I see orbs and I hear the sound. The room.
Nice. Nice. So. Sounds like my water fountain.
Yeah. No, it does not sound. I'm going to call it a urinal. So anyway, so I'm sorry, we're totally sidetracked now because we're talking about policy.
Everyone else is a little loopy right
and
now.
And we're all gamers.
Yeah. So
the damn tire.
So back to the policy thing. So key things there, obviously, like what you posted. If a piece of content is free anywhere else, it's going to be free.
Period, full stop.
Right. Yep. I mean, if we didn't get anything else accomplished, let's get that one done. Okay.
Let's nail
Great.
That one.
We all get to keep our jobs, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. We can get that done. And then things get, you know, tricky, like what you're talking about, you know, content on the disk and yep. that sort of stuff.
Well, content, downloadable content. What happens when, for instance, we launched a year plus before the PS3. So when right. the PS3 version of a game comes out,
right.
are we going to have that content? There's all these crazy
right.
scenarios.
There's all these different scenarios. So every single one of those we went through. And, you know, the best that we can do, especially as, you know, work through this with our partners, is say at the time, you know, of release. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen 12 months from now.
You right? do, but I don't.
Well, even then you don't 100% know, because even the game developers don't know how it's all going to come together and how they're going to actually offer it. They may even have notions of it now, but it doesn't always come the way,
right.
together the way they think.
Right.
In the end game, as they're having to make their dates and, you know, make their final cuts and all that kind of good stuff. So mm-hmm. it doesn't always shake out how you imagine. But a key part of what I want the community to know is that there is a team of people that are constantly looking at, you know, hey, what are we doing good? What are we not doing well with? And your blog is a fantastic resource for that. And I would continue to encourage people to post.
Oh, and they do.
Feedback. Oh, I know.
And
I
they're
know.
You know they're not shy about sharing how they feel.
No, and you know with as much you know with vim and vigor as you want to throw at it, man, bring it on. We'll go through all of it and digest
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So it does greatly influence what we do and how we think about things.
What you know we talked so we're now almost two months into the new year. What do you think is going to happen with gaming in 2007? We now have the PS3 on shelves, a lot of shelves. The Wii is out there. The Xbox 360 out there. What is 2007 going to be bringing in terms of gaming?
So here's kind of what's going through my head right now in a couple of different ways. One is there's actually a lot of different things brewing this year. First, just from a pure gaming perspective and how we've all grown up and played games and thought about games from a console perspective, I can't imagine a year that's better from a portfolio perspective. I mean, this is an unbelievably huge year.
Yeah.
You look at the two largest franchises on any platform, Halo 3 and Grand Theft Auto coming to 360. That's pretty monumental
right.
In its own right.
Have you seen any Grand Theft Auto?
I'll just say no. How about that? No.
Oh, you flyer.
How about that? No.
You flyer.
No. I mean, no. No.
Okay.
No. There okay. you go.
Anyway,
no.
go ahead. Continue with that thought.
No. It would always be no. No.
It would always be no.
It would always be no.
Have you played Guitar Hero?
I have played a little Guitar Hero. Yeah. Okay. It's pretty chocolatey.
Yeah, it
it's
is
fun.
Fun. It is fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, there's some fun behind the scenes stories I'll tell you off the microphone about that.
See, those are the ones I want on the microphone.
Everyone, want it on the microphone.
Everyone's going, tell us, Scott, tell us.
There's a fun little hack that one of the guys down the hall did with a guitar. I'll just leave it at that.
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I've seen that.
I wouldn't talk about it.
No, in fact, I asked them if I could talk about it and whatnot, and I was shooed away from the office.
It's fun. It's fun. I think it's really neat to do a water fountain at the end of a guitar. I think it's a neat hack.
Wah. Talk about star power. Kind of kind of like Prince on the Super Bowl when he tilts back and it just shoots out the
top. that was
awesome, crazy?
Yeah, that was totally
did you like
crazy.
That?
Yeah, I did. I don't know how he hasn't aged in 20 years. But anyway, enough on Prince. Yeah. So back to 2007. So
I just want to stop right now because whenever you and I have these conversations, we don't talk for like a couple weeks.
And it's just like...
And then literally in 35 minutes, we'll go 150,000 miles an hour,
yeah.
cover 400 subjects, and just keep going.
And that was just a glimpse there, that we curbed our enthusiasm yeah. for that craziness that typically happens.
Where were we?
So we were at the Super Bowl watching Prince... play his guitar.
Yeah, let's get. I want to step back a little bit. We were talking about 2007 in the games.
Right, exactly. So I think from just for the avid gamers that are out there, you're not going to find a better year than 2007 in the last several years. Lots of great content, of course, continues to come to platforms, but I think this is going to be just huge. And I think there's going to be some, you know, there's some titles that people are tracking right now, like Assassin's Creed or Mass Effect, BioShock.
Yeah, BioShock. Example, yeah.
That, you know, I think people look at and go, yeah, those are probably going to be pretty good. And I think they're going to be breakout hits. You know, really surprise people.
What are we going to do on the Xbox 360 to broaden like we've done, like the Wii is done? I'm pointing at your Wii over there because you've got a Wii in your office.
Sure.
What are we going to do there? I mean, we've got Guitar Hero. One could argue that maybe that's one angle, but
sure.
You know, that's do. How do we think about that?
Well, there's lots of different things that we think about there. There's many factors that come into play. Cost comes into play.
You
got to think about cost, and I'm not obviously talking about any price cut or anything.
Yeah, that's not what we're talking about.
No, not at all. But that comes into play, and obviously one of the things that we did with Xbox 360 was give ourselves a lot of flexibility in terms of, you know, offerings in the marketplace.
Yeah.
Basically from, you know, $299 all the way up.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think we need to do is think about the $299 offer and make sure that that's, you know, really accessible for people.
Right.
Then it's an easy purchase for people and easy to talk about at retail and for people to play. And there's all kinds of fun unannounced titles of course we're not going to talk about on the show here,
right?
But that are really kind of in the social domain.
Stuff that you've seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
In the social domain, where
I haven't seen.
That you haven't seen, that's right. That are easy to pick up and play,
right?
Easy for multiple people, like you could have party night.
So let's be clear, you're not talking about Fusion Frenzy 2.
I am not talking about Fusion Frenzy 2, which you will notice has actually been played on my...
There it is, 0 of 14 achievements.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're just going to beat me up about the whole achievements thing there, aren't you? Yeah, it's okay. Anyway, I've played a bit of Fusion Frenzy 2.
So
yeah, the community has spoken.
Yes, they have.
So, in any case, different kinds of experiences that maybe you haven't seen on Xbox 360 to date. And certainly as we go into our third holiday, fourth holiday, fifth holiday, sixth holiday, and beyond, we think about, you know, more and more of these types of titles.
So you're planning for – so here we are in February. You're already planning for this coming holiday, right?
And beyond.
And beyond. But I'm just saying is that it's we think of the holiday season pretty regularly.
Yeah.
And continuously.
I mean,
and obsessively.
Yeah. Of course, we think about the whole year and how titles are going to come out through the entire year. I mean, obviously, it's great to start with Lost Planet and hit Crackdown right after that. And then the following month, have Gratu and that sort of stuff. And then you know, seeing the content pipeline for Arcade, you know, just continue.
Right.
So we think about it all throughout the year. But as we think about, like, when the big, you know, the next big push is, it always... tends to happen between, you know, end of September and end of December.
Right.
So, in any case, I think this holiday will be monstrous from a core gaming perspective. And I actually think there's going to be some stuff that comes to 360 that will surprise people this holiday. That, like, wow, that's pretty cool.
We like
make
surprises.
It really easy for my, you know, family and kids to pick up and play.
So have you played a lot of Viva? Let's take a look. Have you played a lot of Viva?
I've played, you know what? I have played a lot of Viva. I haven't played it probably the way that you play.
I don't see it on here at all. Oh, there it is. There it is. Okay. There it is. 10 of 50. Yeah. Not bad.
So not bad.
Okay.
So my daughter and I have played a ton of Viva. One of the things I love about Viva and love about Star Wars
Lego Star Wars.
Lego Star Wars. Sorry. Right. Thank you. Is that you can play through it with your kid, right? And you can do that with Viva as well. In fact, I keep a controller while Sienna has a controller.
Right.
And if she ever gets stuck or whatever, she wants me to just kind of like make a match or whatever. She's like, Daddy, can you do that?
Right.
And so it's just a fun little experience for her and I. And she constantly, when I get home, it's either Star Wars, Lego Star Wars, or Viva.
Oh, I know that because I see you playing it and I send you invites to play some games. And you're
like, yeah, dude, not so much Pimps at Sea right now.
Yeah, can't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't even say Pimps right now.
Right, exactly. And I know. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. I appreciate your tolerance.
So.
Because it's family time.
It's family time. I dig that.
That's right. And we have a lot of family time on the Xbox 360. So there's lots of games.
So there's more games. So games, you're thinking about broader games.
Yeah. And, you know, interestingly enough, people probably don't think of it this way, but in my family, we certainly do since, you know, I've worked on Xbox for quite a while.
You were here since day one.
Since the beginning. And, so there's a lot of original Xbox titles that we play.
Like
what?
There's actually a bunch of really well, Super Monkey Ball. We play like crazy. That is probably like if you like all time favorites. That's definitely that's up there. Now, not an original Xbox title, but also put a plug in for this too. Marble Blast Ultra is a huge hit and favorite with the kids, and Feeding Frenzy is as well.
Right.
So those are just easy pick up and play games. Other ones that are great, like co-op games that people may or may not play through. The Incredibles is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you especially for little kids, right? Easy for them to play. It's totally on rails, you know, kind of thing. Actually, really fun experience, and you know they love the
did you play
the
Cars. Characters.
I've played Cars.
I played some of Cars.
Yep, absolutely. Played quite a bit of that. Open Season, you know.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yep, just keep on going down the list. Ed, and Eddie.
Yeah, you get the All right, I get the idea. God. All right, enough. Exactly.
All the people out there listening like, dude, yeah. God, you're killing me.
Let's
talk about Crackdown.
Give us an info nugget. Talk about that Pimps title. Anything.
Anything but this. Oh, my gosh.
So what else? What else are you working on?
So we're thinking a lot about, gosh, you know, I kind of feel like I have to stop, right?
Right.
How do people play, right? How do we simplify how people play?
Mm-hmm.
We're thinking a lot about that.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're playing a lot of Wii, too.
I mean, we have a good time with the Wii. I'll tell you my experience with it is there are parts of it that are just unbelievably cool.
Yeah.
That are really.
Did
really
you make
magical.
A
Mii? My daughter made about 25 Miis.
Really?
Yeah. Did you see that little video where someone made 1,000 of them and had them do the parade?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa now. Hey now. Yeah. That's a little too much Mii time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to go blind. You're going to go blind, dude.
Exactly. With all that Put the Mii Wiimote time. Down. Yeah. I think you've had enough Wii time. So I think it's great for the mini games, pick up and play games. And but for third party games, I haven't had the magic experience quite yet. And maybe it's there, but I haven't had it. And a lot of it has to do with the Wiimote works really well for simple pick up and play experiences, but once you spend longer than 10 minutes on something, it starts to break down a little bit more. Not like 10 minutes on, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, like swinging a bat or a tennis racket or whatever. You could keep doing that, although after a while you do get a little tired.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like going and exploring a world, and of course Zelda's a fantastic game, but I'm not sure that it's a better game because of the Wiimote. I mean, and I'm sure that's a great debate, and you know, I'm sure that'll rage on the net as it has continued, you know, since launch. But I really I believe that people have just as much enjoyment with that game with a GameCube as they would with the Wiimote. So yeah, been spending quite a bit of time with the Wii, especially with the kids and playing around with those titles. But interestingly enough, when given a choice, they still will gravitate amazingly back to Xbox 360 and a lot of the titles that I talked about, especially if they can spend time with me and like going through titles together. That's what they'd much prefer to do that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, Daddy, can you help me get through?
Oh,
like,
I see.
You know, that kind of thing. And let's do this together.
So your daughter's not playing Zelda?
No. Oh, good grief. No way. That's way. Yeah. Sienna's only 6. So right. just to be clear.
Just to frame the conversation.
Yeah, just to frame this a little bit. And yeah, we won't stay on this too long, but no, I don't know.
Okay.
Zelda's way too complex.
Fine.
Way
I know.
Too
I
complex.
Know. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, and she'd watch me play that for about 5 minutes and get bored.
And just get bored. I get bored and wander off.
Wander off.
Unless I'm not playing.
Yeah, exactly. So that's some of what's going on. We're thinking about those kinds of things, and then obviously thinking about how we evolve the core platform too, right? And how do we – like some of the questions that I'd love to ask the community is, hey, we're thinking about how do we rev the console experience to make it maybe more community-friendly?
So when you say rev
– right, when I – update.
Update.
Yeah.
So
– rev.
So now when you say the console, meaning – the dashboard.
The dashboard.
Okay, we're not revising the hardware or anything like that. It's just how do we...
What I want to do is I want to give the community more control. I want to give them more direct control over their own experience. I want them to decide what's hot and what's not. I want them to be able to rate and refer content. I want them to be able to send links to their friends and say, here's what's cool. I want us to build a whole bunch of, you know, really cool technology into the dash that allows you to filter things and look at it on your terms. Right, not necessarily our terms.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kinds of things that I'd like to see,
I see.
Us, you know, evolve the dashboard into, you know, over time. So I'd love to hear from the community about, you know, and I know they have all kinds of feature ideas, but I'd love to hear, like, if we were going to take that tack, What are the kinds of things you'd like to do? You want to do? Do you want to, you know, write your own walkthroughs? You want to create your own hints? You know,
so we actually, I talked about this probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, because Andre, who you work with, posted on his blog, and I posted on my blog about what could we do to make the Xbox 360, Xbox Live, and Xbox.com.
Yeah, yeah. And I've read through
thousands of comments.
Absolutely. And there's lots of great stuff in there.
Yeah.
About what people would like.
So if you haven't, you know, if you only listen to this show and you only grab it off iTunes, swing over to the blog at majornelson.com and do a search for that, and you'll see this post, which just goes up forever.
Yeah, yeah. And also on Ozymandias.com.
Yeah, and Ozymandias, yep. You know, Andre's. I had him on a couple weeks ago when we talked about that.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
Good stuff. And actually lots of good feedback. But, you know, thinking about the console as if it, you know, were a living, breathing entity powered by the community, I think is a really interesting concept. And I think it would help a lot too, as we think about a lot of the stuff that's in the marketplace and how you find content and how you find out about content. I mean, yeah, it's great that people can go to majornelson.com, and of course, lots and lots of people do.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. But it would also be nice if you took a lot of those, if you could take a lot of the great features that are on majornelson.com about how you find out about content, like say through an RSS reader, that kind of stuff.
Right.
If maybe the stuff that was pertinent to you, anytime there's something related to racing, hey, you could find out about it.
Right.
You could see what the top downloads are for your friends. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Or for the whole community, that kind of stuff. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, because frankly, I don't like posting all this stuff on my blog.
That's right. It'd save you a lot of work.
Save me a lot of work and a lot of time, and I could go back to the good stuff that I like
talking
about.
You could focus on the fun, tasty chocolate stuff.
That I love talking about.
That makes you laugh for 2 minutes.
Oh, God. Oh, man. So what else you got?
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what else I got. I just in your behalf, I just want to tell you that the reason that I cleaned my office is because I knew you were going to come in today. And we were going to have this little podcast, and I wanted to make sure we had an acoustically aware environment so that, you know, you felt comfortable. Don't worry about me. Yeah, and that, you know, we had a good, you know,
podcast.
Yeah,
go ahead, the fountain.
Yeah, and
I can't get my eyes off the fountain. Is that water in there or is that oil? What is that? That's vodka, isn't it? I'm convinced you've got vodka in your fountain.
Unbelievable. You created a little tranquil environment for someone, and they just walk all over it.
I'm just, what's in there? So you've got your little fountain on this little black, this mysterious black chest.
Yep, that's.
It's like one of those chests in Oblivion.
That's actually, I can't show you.
Really?
You know, because the radiance would blind you.
That's really? that's all the secret stuff in there.
In there, right there. That right there.
I'm sorry. Do you have your Hello Kitty diary in there?
Dear diary, today I talked to Major Nelson, and we talked about some complete and absolute nothing. There you go. There's the inside. Radiance, as I told you, huh?
Okay.
In the future. Yeah. The illusion is better than the reality.
So you were at CES, weren't you?
I was not
at CES. No, you were not.
I was in St. John.
Ended up in the Bahamas.
Yep.
Because I was pissed at you because I was down there all by myself.
It's no, you said you had a great time.
I did have a good time.
CES was
awesome. Did you see that? I saw the Girls Gone Wild video?
That was wow.
Poor girls.
Yeah. I they got Major Nelsoned is what they got.
Yeah, they sure did.
Which is worse than punked. Yeah, I don't know if people know that or not, but they got to be careful when they interview with you because they sort of need to look around. And
yeah, I'm just coming at them. That's all.
Exactly. Have you played a lot of Halo? Have you? What's your favorite part of Halo?
You're playing Spartan or an Elite. You're right.
That was awesome. Yeah. So don't.
So I'm going to see you at GDC, though.
GDC's going to rock.
And then what's after that? And then you and I are we going on the world tour again this year?
That's the plan.
Because we usually go to Leipzig for the game convention,
followed
by Tokyo Game Show.
That's right.
Did you go to Tokyo Game Show? Oh, yes, 2 years ago you went, last year.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
But last year was actually a pretty good show as well, 2 years ago.
And they extended it, you know. I don't know if you know this.
It's now four days. I did not.
It's usually three. It's now 4 days.
Come to Tokyo. We'll have a good time.
God darn it, I love Tokyo.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
It's a blast.
It's game crazy.
And I can't wait to see, you know, getting back to what you were saying earlier about 2007 being a big year, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen at Tokyo. And of course, this you know, whatever E3 is going to become.
I still can't get my head around that.
I can't get my head around
it. Think about that.
It's almost like it's over, you know, long live E3 and whatever this new thing is going to be. It's going to be fun. It'll be interesting, but it's just not what it was before it caved in.
Well, maybe people will actually be able to hear you.
Yeah, remember that? And my voice was gone. We did an interview for Xbox.com there. It was right after you were in the Nintendo Wii booth.
That's right. I just played with the Wii for the first time.
Right.
That's exactly right.
And I interviewed you outside for Xbox.com.
Yep. And I think that was the same day we did the press conference and stuff for live
video? No. That was you had done, so you were on stage with Bill Gates like 3 days earlier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's all a blur, man.
Yeah.
See, maybe we'll actually remember E3s in the future.
That's a good point. I was totally sick for these. All right, well, we've chatted for I don't know how many minutes here.
Yeah, 35 probably
plus.
Enough.
Probably enough.
Yeah, maybe the listeners at home would
don't want to see Scott. And so Scott basically is saying that 1080p does matter.
It does matter, right. And it is possible.
And it is possible.
And I apologize to everyone that I may have
confused
with my impossibilities.
And you want to see some? But you can send feedback to Bear.
That's right.
Gamer tag. Send him your ideas for what you want to see in the Xbox 360 console.
Or you can send it to Major Nelson, too.
Yeah, always major@xbox.com.
Yeah, that's right. He is just a big, huge repository of information.
Yeah, people think that, you know, I take what I do pretty seriously, and you've seen this, because I'll take an issue with the community and march it around internally. You've seen me go on a rampage.
Oh, yeah, I have. I see people hitting people with these microphones, which is really intimidating, actually.
Bam, bam, bam. But so you send me the feedback, and it actually, I know we said this earlier, but we really take that seriously. You know, you take that seriously. But so send some feedback over to Bear.
Bring it on.
And maybe Bear will get his gamer score up soon.
Well, or maybe I just like to play, you know, games. A lot of games.
That's okay. That's okay.
Is that okay?
That's fine.
Yeah. Can I be that kind of player?
You can be that kind of player. Okay. I want you, next time we talk, I want to at least have you play Crackdown.
Well, I was going to say, yeah. Next time.
Because it is releasing in just a few days.
It is a fantastic game from everything.
I feel like I've been talking about that for 3 weeks, and I'm not really pimping it out, but I feel like I am.
But everyone I've talked to.
But it's just fun.
Yeah, everyone I've talked to said it's just
It's like the game to play right now.
Yep.
So I'm gonna have somebody on the show as well. The same show. I'm gonna have somebody talking about Crackdown.
Oh, cool.
So I think I'll put them next.
Rock on.
Wanna go right into that?
Yeah.
Alright, let's go right into the Crackdown interview. I have been waiting for this moment for a while because I've been playing Crackdown for 3 weeks, but I'm now here with Craig Evans. Hello, Craig.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
So you work on Crackdown. What do you do on what was your involvement with that?
So I've been working on Crackdown, I don't know, probably about 3 years. I'm the global product manager.
Right.
Which means basically I do the marketing.
Right.
So not a whole lot.
Right. Not a whole lot. Yeah. That's cool. You just kind of keep calling them up going, when's it done? Is it done yet? Is it done yet?
Can I have this asset? Can I have that asset? You know, that sort of stuff.
But I wanted to talk to you because the game comes out in a couple of days on the 20th, right?
It does, yeah. In the U.S. on the 20th and, let's see, the 22nd for your Asian listeners and
okay.
the 23rd for your European listeners.
So within a week, everyone's going to have it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's fantastic. Now, the demo is up on Xbox Live, and I mean that... I'm pretty sure it was like one of the most downloaded demos because it came out a while ago.
Yeah, you're pretty sure because that's true. It was. Yeah, it was number one demo on the first day and in the first week as well. I think we're almost at 1 million downloads.
That's good phenomenal. Stuff, yeah. And this is a free download if you're a gold or silver member. You go up and download Crackdown. Now, how much...
Now, hang on. The beautiful thing, too, about the demo is that... it's also got single player and multiplayer. So
right.
if you want to get on there and you want to play with by yourself,
right.
I was going to say with yourself, right. but
some of our guys do that.
Right,
too.
Right. Hopefully not during this podcast.
Right.
But if you also want to play cooperatively with
right.
a buddy, so you see a lot of good stuff out there. Kind of whatever's your pleasure.
The there's that word of pleasure, you know. Okay. All right. Anyway, so you know a lot of people that download the demo. How does the demo differ from the final game?
Myriad of ways. I mean, so essentially what we did is we sliced off maybe 1/6 of the world.
Okay.
There's three gangs in Crackdown. You've got Los Muertos, you've got the Volk, and you've got the Shajen. They each have kind of their own tendencies, their own weapons, their own vehicles.
Right.
Each part of the world is a little bit different and progressively harder as well. So what we did is we carved out one section of La Mugre, and that's where the Los Muertos gang runs kind of. The city.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, we've, I think, carved off three or maybe four gang bosses that you can attack.
Okay.
Each gang, though, has seven gang bosses. So we gave you probably three or four of the easiest ones
okay.
to go after. We also accelerated demo level or a leveling of your character. Because when you play Crackdown, what happens is you actually have five core attributes. Your attributes kind of go up depending on your play style.
Let's talk about the five core
attributes. Oh, yeah.
Let's go down that path. So we've got...
So you've got agility,
mm-hmm.
you've got strength,
mm-hmm.
you've got firearms,
mm-hmm.
driving, and explosives.
Mm-hmm.
So if you shoot a lot, pretty simple. Your weapon skills get better, right?
And what does that mean they get better? Do you get better weapons, or what does it mean?
So your accuracy goes up.
Okay.
Your ability to do target goes up. So like, for example, you're better at headshots.
Right.
You're better at shooting somebody in the knee. You're better at disarming somebody. You can do all these things. You just hold down the left trigger, and you can lock on and target different parts of the body. But as you go up... In skill, it's easier for to do that.
Got it. Okay.
It also takes you less shots to kill somebody.
Okay. And what about the – so the driving, that means – let's go through what the increase means in each of the attributes.
Yeah, sure. When you're driving, essentially what happens there is there's two things. You become a better driver, mm-hmm. just like you would assume you would if you drive, you know, more and more versus when you started to learn how to drive
right.
to where you are today.
Right.
I understand you're quite the driver now.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
but anyhow, so that's one thing that happens. The other thing happens is if there's agency vehicles. There's three of them. There's an SUV. Uh-huh. There's a sports car and a semi-truck, a lorry, as the guys in Scotland would call it. And essentially, what happens is these agency vehicles will transform and modify themselves based on your characteristics. So if you're a high-end driver, the SUV actually has a turbo or a hop button, allows you to hop. Mm-hmm. The sports car has machine guns mounted on the hood that you can use, mm-hmm. and the semi truck does have a turbo.
So you will boost. You will actually not get these things until you level up. Now, I must say, I've been playing through the game, and I haven't, you know, I wasn't really focused on my driving skills. I was too busy running around the city, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But what I noticed was I kind of went back and I got into the agency vehicles, and something badass happens. When I had leveled up, I got into the vehicle, I got into the SUV, and the thing like went, and it just like got really,
I know.
It was like crazy.
It's totally badass. I wish when I got into my 1996 Saab, it would do something like that.
But it doesn't.
It doesn't, no.
But that was really cool. So all of a sudden I found myself like, oh, wait a minute. Here's a whole other part of the game that I really wasn't even, because I'm not really into driving games. All of a sudden I wanted to get into it.
Yeah. So the, you know, for example, the SUV, it kind of starts out as maybe a Jeep Cherokee.
Right.
And then it transforms into a Hummer.
Beyond that, even.
Beyond a Hummer.
Yeah,
right.
Beyond a Hummer.
Times 10.
Yeah,
so,
it was wild.
Yeah, it is wild. So it's good stuff. And they all have their own kind of specialties, too. So, for example, the SUV is super, or is the sports car, rather, is super fast. You can actually drive underneath traffic. So if you're driving down the highway, somebody's in your way, no reason to go around them. Just, it'll scoop them out of the way.
Yeah, I noticed that. That was pretty wild.
SUV does just the opposite. It drives over things.
Right.
And then if you're driving the semi-truck,
it just goes through
right
them.
Through them. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we've got the shooting skills, the driving skills. We'll go through some of the other ones.
Well, and, you know, just to expand on driving, too, there's stunt markers throughout the world, too.
Yeah.
And there's lots of ramp trucks. You'll see these trucks driving throughout the world that have these handy-dandy ramps on them.
I'm having such a challenge with that because I'm driving around. I'm trying to get my driving because I'm only up to, like, level 3. And I really want to get to the – so what's the top level? Each one goes up how high?
So essentially you start out at level 0, if
right.
you, or you can think of it as level 1, and then you can get up to 4 stars.
Okay.
And then so essentially the way you increase your leveling is you go from – as you take people out.
Right.
You go from 1 to 99. And
I believe it's called – I believe what you kids call it is kills – what is it? Skills for kills.
Skills for kills.
Skills
agent.
For kills,
yeah,
right. So as you're doing these things, whether you're killing somebody or with a car, like when you drive over one of the gang members with the car, you get points.
You got it.
But also, I noticed when I drive over pedestrians with a car, I lose points.
You do lose points. Now, you don't lose points quite as fast as you do if you run versus how you gain points when you run over a criminal.
Right.
I mean, civilians are they're while they're barely tolerable, and a nuisance.
Right.
You know. The agency kind of looks, you know, the other direction.
For a time being.
For a time being, until if you get out of control, then they'll send some folks
They're coming after you.
But luckily, you're, you know, a genetically enhanced agent of justice, so yes. you've got
Who
that
isn't?
On your side. Yeah.
So there's driving, there's shooting. Let's talk about the agility attribute, which is probably the one that most people will really get excited about, or that they understand pretty quickly.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's my favorite
okay.
attribute. And that was really kind of the core of the game. Dave Jones, that is, wanted to make a game where you could really explore the full width and depth of the game. So most of these sandbox games in the past have all been about, you know, crimes taking place on the street. You know, occasionally they'll throw in some sort of flying vehicle or something like that. But
right.
generally, you know, the action is taking place on the street.
Right, street level.
So Dave wanted to turn it into a fully vertical world. And you can get some, you know, massive vistas. You've seen these guys. The tallest building in the game is the agency tower. That's
yeah.
kind of your headquarters.
Yep.
Think of it as, you know, Millennium where we work.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to the top of there. And it's really quite an achievement. You actually get an achievement for it, as well as you get an achievement when you jump off and hopefully
yes.
survive the landing.
So here's the clue, people, because I got my way to the top, and I got the achievement, and then I kind of came down, and I didn't realize there was a second achievement for diving off of it. So I had to schlep all the way back up to the top. It was pretty tough.
Yeah, it is. So the orbs, though, that's the way
yeah.
you increase your agility, and it is like you know, digital crack.
Right.
I am jumping everywhere to get those orbs. There's 500 in the game.
Have you gotten all of them?
You know, I have to say I have 496. out of 500.
I'm at 453.
Four left, and I cannot find them anywhere. I am running around this place. I spent 2 hours last night.
Just looking for orbs.
Looking for orbs. Can't find them. You know, I know a few people that have gotten it. I think it's just hit or miss. You know, Stiffy over in the cert team.
Stiffy,
he's got it. Yeah. So
it's a little challenging because I posted on this a couple weeks ago, and you and I were talking about this, is that when I started playing the game, as I'm walking around our campus, I now start looking at the top of buildings going, yeah, I could probably get that with one jump. Or, it really impacts your mental well-being as you're walking around in the real world.
Yeah, it really does.
And the other thing I noticed about this game is as you're looking for orbs, is that as I'm jumping around and around, it's one of the only games I've ever gotten the feeling of vertigo from.
It has an amazing sense of height. I don't know how they pulled it off, but part of it is just they have such a gigantic world in this game.
Yeah.
You can see it all loads at once, right? So there's never any loading times.
Yeah, except
you see it, you can go there.
Yeah. That's the other thing that I want to talk about is that a lot of people will – obviously the comparison to Grand Theft Auto is obvious, but it's entirely different. So tell people how – we've kind of gone through some of the areas, and I want to get back to the attributes. But the Grand Theft Auto piece that I noticed was, and you kind of alluded to this, was Grand Theft Auto had like three or four islands. And here we've got, I think, three islands, right?
Well, there's three major districts.
Right.
Each district has a couple of islands at least. There's some sub-islands.
But what I'm getting at is that, as you said earlier, the world is very vertical.
It's vertical.
You can't just look at a map and go, oh, this is bigger than that. That's not the case. There's so much more to this game.
You have to think about it in cubic volume.
Yeah.
What that cubic volume is, I don't know. I'm not a mathematician. I'm just a silly marketing guy.
Right.
So, I'm not real good at math.
So it's really – so we're going through the agility orb. So as your agility, what are some of the things that happen when you level up your agility?
So when you level up your agility, you just have the ability to jump instead of maybe 10 feet. You go to 20 feet, to 40 feet, to 60 feet, to 80 feet. So now you're jumping up, multiple stories of a building. You're also jumping across, wide chasms across a street or something like that.
Right.
You see a point, you can jump to it and – sometimes you make it, or usually you'll make it, but when you don't, maybe as you're falling down, you grab onto another ledge on the side of the building, or sometimes you'll hit the pavement, you know?
Which is not so good.
But death is not the end because the agency stores your DNA, so, and then you can come back as somebody else if you want, or as that same agent. It's great.
That's crazy. So, as I was talking about my vertigo, when I jumped off of the, when I had to jump from tower to tower, I don't remember what, I think it was in the Shijian district, I actually closed my eyes and pressed A. I was like, am I gonna fall?
Uh-huh.
It was really rough. So sorry. So we got agility. What are some of the couple other attributes?
We talked about agility. We talked about driving. We got strength.
Okay.
We talked about weapons too. But strength is great.
Now, how does that work?
So strength essentially is as you kill people with your melee skills.
Mm-hmm.
So kicking them, punching them, that sort of stuff. Stomping them while they're down.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody likes a curb stomp, right?
Yeah.
That's really how that works. And what the benefit of that is as you increase that, you can lift heavier and heavier objects. So I could then pick up, a dumpster
uh-huh.
or a skip, as they call it in Scotland.
Yep.
I could pick up a car.
Uh-huh.
And that really comes into play in important ways. So, for example, you can stack objects as well. So let's say there's a ledge I can't quite reach, even if I'm a high agility guy. And I knew if I just had a little additional boost, i.e. maybe if I brought a truck over here,
right.
carried it over, stood on top of the cab, and then jumped up, that's one way I might be able to get up there. Or maybe I could just stack a whole bunch of objects, create a massive pile.
Now, one of the things I've noticed when I used to do that in GTA... I'd go back and that pile was gone.
Yeah, I know. It is frustrating. But luckily in Crackdown, we've really built in a system that kind of records where you've been, what you've done.
Uh-huh.
To a point, of course.
Right.
I mean, there's always limitations. But if you've been on YouTube at all, you've seen these people bring in all kinds of junk.
And this is just the demo.
This is just the demo. You're right. Bring in all kinds of junk into wherever, the middle of the street, blocking traffic. Throwing a few satchel chargers in there, waiting for the appropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they set up a ramp trunk and their buddy and gets in another car and co-op, drives over the pile. Right as it's at the apex of its jump, boom, hit the trigger and massive explosion with your buddy right in the middle of it. It's great fun.
So the strength does – now, am I understanding, does that also help my health?
It does. Yeah, it impacts your health. It does. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Your health, your shields, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. So we've got that. So let's talk about the ballistics, munitions, the explosions.
Explosions, yeah.
Right.
So the way that works, it's basically – based on how often you use explosions or explosives. So grenades, your rocket launchers, your missile launchers, your grenade launchers. The more you use those and kill people with explosives, even when you take people out, maybe they're standing next to an explosive device and you shoot that and it takes them out with the explosion, that'll help your explosive skills. And the big thing there is as it goes up and up, the radius of your explosion increases. So by the time you get to a top-level agent, you just have these incredible radiuses. So you throw one little grenade and bam, it'll clear out.
So it's all but a mushroom cloud.
It really is. Yeah, it's awesome.
Wow. So those are all the, I think we covered everything, didn't we?
Let's see. Well, let's review them. We've got agility. Yep. You got strength, weapons, driving, and explosives. Yes, we covered them all.
Boom. Yep. What are some of the tips you can give people that are going to pick up the game in a couple days or are just picking it up right now because they're listening to this show a few days in? What are some of the tips you can give us to help our characters level up? What should we focus on?
So, I mean, what I typically do is focus on agility orb straight away.
Okay.
I go in, hop in the game, and when you get in the game, the whole game's open to you from the beginning. So you don't have to go to point A and then complete mission one and then go to point B. You can tackle any of the missions from the very beginning.
And I made a mistake. I'm going to cut you off because I actually made a mistake. I was in the agency where you spawn in at the agency headquarters. And I hopped in a vehicle right at the beginning of the game. I'm like, oh, let me go into section 3. I lasted literally 5 seconds before I was destroyed. Yeah. So anyway.
The voice of the agency, kind of your Charlie, if you've seen Charlie's Angels, will warn you, hey, if you're going into District 3 and you're not quite the right level of agent, he's going to basically scold you and tell you
and
that maybe you should spend your time over in the other districts.
So listen to that voice.
But that doesn't preclude you from going over there.
Yeah.
So you can go over there from the very beginning, attempt, you know, as kind of a rookie agent to take out some of the top kingpins, but you're going to have a difficult time.
So it's not like some of the other games like GTA or some of these other games where this area of the town had big red X's and I couldn't go into that
town.
So you can go wherever you want.
Yeah, you can. Like the weather hasn't destroyed the bridges in town and then, you know, after such and such a point, all of a sudden they're miraculously open. That's not the case. You can go there from the very beginning.
Okay.
And, you know, you may want to because kind of what I do is I get in there and I go around. I try to find at least enough agility orbs to get myself up one level, if not two.
Okay.
Before I really start tackling some stuff, maybe I'll come across a mission while I'm or a kingpin while I'm in the middle of doing that and kind of say, oh, well, I'll go off and do that for now. But I love to level up and get that agility.
So agility is kind of is Craig's,
personal,
Craig's tips number one.
Yeah, that's my personal favorite. I think a lot of people are really into that. I mean, when we were making this game and we brought it over to the folks in usability and playtest, they would put it in front of people that were sandbox gamers, right? And they would say, hey, you know, we'd like you to get to the top of this building. And wouldn't give them any other guidance like other than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy would be walking around the bottom of the building, be looking for a staircase or a door into the building. And then finally, you'd kind of have to prompt people like, you know, hey, wait, you know, you need to bump up your agility. And then you'd just be able to jump up there, maybe grab some ledges and climb to the top of the building. And you'd hear this kind of almost literally like this pop in their brain where they go like, aha, I
get
it.
Where the light goes off.
So it's really this dynamic change to it. And Crackdown is just, well, the thing I love about it is the platforming element in kind of a sandbox environment.
Yeah, so let's talk about the platforming element because when you say that, that's like the old, you know, like a Sonic or a Mario or something we're going for. And you kind of need to do that.
You do. I mean, a lot of those games are fantastic games, but they're on rails, right? So this is kind of a freeform sandbox platformer that also has driving and action and even some light RPG elements, by the way your attributes go up.
Mm-hmm. So Craig's tip number one is level up your agility.
Yep, level up
and your then what did you focus on after you did your agility?
So I'm a big fan of explosives. I just like things that go boom. So
right.
You know, if you can find pretty early on, you can find a grenade launcher.
Yep.
My favorite, though, is the homing missile launcher. That thing is just amazing.
You know, they call it the Firefly.
They do call it the Firefly, yeah. So it's great for tossing bodies in the air and then shooting them while they're still up in the air and keeping them up with rockets.
There's an achievement for that.
There is, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. I haven't gotten that one yet.
You have to, there's just so many fun things you can do. Like, you can, oh, in different areas of the world, there's different, there's a basketball in one area with a basketball hoop. Maybe see if you can make some shots with it. But
I haven't seen that one.
But the other thing is you can do is take that basketball, maybe drop some satchel charges on it, the kind that stick to it.
Yep.
And then use that basketball when you go to a mission, throw the mission at the gang boss, the basketball rather, at the gang boss, and then just set it off and you have now an explosive.
It's like an Uber Molotov cocktail.
I mean, there's so many fun things you can do. Another great thing is when you're playing co-op, like you go find a vehicle, maybe turn it over because you're strong enough or something like that, put some of those satchel charges on the bottom of it, mm-hmm. and then go pick up your buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Your buddy hops in. You're kind of driving around. Everyone's having a good time. Get that thing really going, and then bail. And
you,
then as you, roll out, you hit
you
the explosive,
detonate it.
You detonate it, and then boom, and there he goes. But it's all in good fun.
Co-op. So the co-op, we talked a little bit about that in the where it's in the demo. But the key thing with a co-op is that it's not like we're connected, meaning you can go off and do something entirely different.
Yeah, that's right. I remember some of my first co-op games being like Gauntlet, remember in the arcades something like that? You had to be in a certain area.
Like
on the
in the
screen,
same screen, yeah.
And you could even get stuck if your buddy went over and you're like, hey, come back here so I can move there.
Right.
I mean, even to date, co-op in sandbox games has usually been pretty light. So, I know GTA did it with on the same screen, kind of in coordinated areas. Maybe in San Andreas might have been the first one to do it. But it wasn't online. It was just like you and maybe your wife manning the turret or something like that.
Yeah, because women are always good shooters
in
the
turret. Yeah, they are. Hey, honey, can you man the turret for me? Saints Row, the way they handle co-op, I had a lot of fun with that game. I really liked that game.
Yeah.
Saints Row would handle it by, they'd give you little areas, little missionaries that you could go. I mean, you play co-op where I think you had to break out of a mall.
Yep.
It was one of them.
That's
Another one is you had to come out of like an alleyway and stuff like that. And they had some really fun
stuff.
So it's
different flavors.
Different flavors. Crackdown, what we decided to do is give you the whole world to play.
Yeah, just take the cuffs off. You're at it. Have fun.
Yeah, it's all justice, no restraints, basically.
Right.
And essentially, you could be on one side of the world. I'm on the other side. You're off doing your own thing. Maybe you're getting some more agility or you're beefing up your driving. And I'm over on the other side of the world doing whatever I need to be doing. And then we get together and we take down a kingpin.
Yeah, that's what's really neat about that. Because I've been playing. So I've talked a lot about this on my show. I play with Tycho from Penny Arcade. Mm-hmm. He downloaded the demo and he's like every night this week. You need to send him a copy because he doesn't have his copy yet.
He doesn't.
He doesn't.
Take care of him.
But he's been like, he wants me to play the demo with him. So we've been playing so much time in the demo. And then after you reach a certain level, the demo starts basically ticking time down. That's exactly what he and I were doing is we were just eventually we got to the point where we leveled up our characters. We were playing this like gruesome game of hide and seek. I mean, you have an indicator so you know where the person is, but you're throwing grenades at him. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, Game Informer did a video on their website, gameinformer.com. And, it was like top 10 things to do in Crackdown. And they came up with all these different mini games. One of them was Rocket Tag.
Right.
Essentially, anytime it goes into the ragdolling effect, that means you get a point when your buddy, gets hit and spins around. All that sort of. They had all kinds of games. Light Ball.
Right.
It was fun.
Some fun stuff there. So, so co-op is huge. It's a different type of sandbox game. That's what I want to get at.
It is a different type of it's the new sandbox.
Right. So we talked about the differences of it. The world, so a lot of people are looking at it and it's kind of has an interesting look to it as well.
It does.
How do you explain that look?
The interesting look?
Yeah, I mean it's cuz it's not like realism, it's kind of like a comic book.
Well, some people say you have an interesting
look. Yeah, that's
major,
true. They do. Touché. So
it is kind of like a comic book. I would say graphic novels were a big inspiration. If you talk to the art director Jeff Carnes, he'll tell you that exact same thing, that graphic novels, anime, things like that were a big inspiration. But really what I think it comes back from is when Dave Jones was originally sitting down and talking about the idea for Crackdown, described this kind of over-the-top world, lots of action, these guys said, well, we got to have an art style that's going to fit exactly that. So instead of doing drab grays and, ultra-realistic graphics and all that sort of stuff, they said, well, let's make this, something that's going to match the action and make it over the top in terms of the graphics. So that's why you see a lot of this kind of graphic novel feel to it. Yeah. And it really, it was painful at first, I'll be honest with you, but it's really come together nicely.
In terms of, because I popped in everywhere, because that's the first thing, I've talked about this frequently on my show. First thing people do is, that game doesn't look good or something like that. But this game really looks good after you're like, oh, wait a minute, that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, it's come together. And people kept saying, it doesn't look good. But to be honest with you, at the end of the day, what do people play games for? They're playing for fun, right?
Fun, yeah.
Crackdown is FUN.
Yeah, it is. It really is. The other thing that I noticed about the game is just the beautiful architecture. Everything's different. It's not like they just took five or six types of buildings and just replicated like the background of an old cartoon.
Scrolling by.
This is amazing. Do we have any idea how many buildings are in the town?
That's a great question. I don't. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
It's interesting too because early on when Crackdown was being developed, there was no agility orbs. There was no sense of how we were going to communicate, how you were going to get agility.
Oh, interesting.
So for a while we were thinking, well, maybe if you just climb buildings and shoot people from great heights,
you just kind of work it off yourself.
Yeah, you kind of work it off yourself. And then I think, I don't know who came up with the idea for agility orbs, if it was the designers or what, but when I heard about the idea, the guys I went to, because there was some resistance at first. People thought, well, it's maybe too gamey, but to be honest with you, it's a game, right?
Right.
So, hey,
it is what it is.
So I went to the art guys and I said, hey, you want people to see this beautiful world you're designing and all these great buildings. You want them to explore the nooks and crannies, the alleys, the balconies, things like that.
Right.
So you need people hunting for agilities.
Yeah.
So I wish they would have only put 496 in the game instead of 500.
There is a little trick that I found out, though, and I learned this the other night, is when I was looking for agility orbs, I only do it at night.
Oh, is that right? So you think they show up better?
They showed up better on my TV. So I was like driving around. I'm like, during this. So it's like, it's because this agility orbs has become a nocturnal activity for me.
I've heard there's other stuff you only do at night.
Well,
too,
that's right? Well, we talked about that earlier in the cast. So Crackdown, it's a lot of fun. So Craig's tips are focus on your agility, and then you focused on explosions. I think I went with strength.
Strength, yep.
What I did was, this is my tip, is get your agility, work on the agility orbs like Craig said. But what I did was I also, instead of in the early level shooting people, I was kicking them so I could get my strength up quicker.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that, too, where strength comes in. It's handy skill. Another one that takes a long time is your weapon skill.
Yeah.
And I think that they just figure people are going to shoot a lot, right?
Right?
Use their weapons. So that one takes probably one of the longest to actually upgrade to max status.
Yeah, I think I'm not max on that one, and my driving are still not maxed out.
Yeah, driving takes a while too. But I don't know. When I talk to folks, it seems like the weapon skill takes the longest, and all of this certainly takes a lot longer to do than in the demo. I mean, we accelerated all that because it's meant to be, and everyone knows there's a timer in there right now. So once you reach 2 stars, you have 30 minutes to play. But you can still extend your gameplay session.
But I mean, that's brilliant. That's brilliant that you accelerated it, because otherwise people would be like, "Oh." Because I got up to level 3, I think, in that accelerated time, and it totally changed the game. And let's be clear: when you get the agility and your agility starts leveling up, or your explosions, it really changes the game.
Oh, it totally does. And we had to put that. We had to accelerate it, right? Because oftentimes these demo experiences are quick. So these demos end up in, say, a retail kiosk or something like that, and you only have a short bit of time in there before your wife says, "Let's get out of here. I want to go over and look for handbags."
Right, and so that's going to happen, guys. Yeah. Trust me.
So you want to bust out a few skills while you're in there.
Yeah.
So it's worked out really well, and we've gotten a lot of good feedback on the demo. And it's scary to put your baby out there, but luckily
everybody loves your baby. Yeah. So speaking of that, there's been a little bit of a controversy or some question around when you buy Crackdown for a limited time offer, you get into the Halo 3 beta.
Yeah, I've heard that's a pretty good game.
So the Halo 3, I've heard that as well.
Yeah.
So when you made that decision, people were all of a sudden when people started learning about that, they're scratching their head going, "Oh, that must mean Crackdown isn't a good game." I think with the demo, you've disproved that.
Yeah, our perspective was, of course, we're honored, right?
Right.
I mean, it's a stalwart franchise at Microsoft Game Studios, Halo
right.
3, right? So we looked at it as that we saw they recognized that Crackdown was a quality game. We certainly wouldn't want to put it on something that would tarnish the brand, right?
Right.
So
there's going to be no. That's what you're saying is there's going to be no Halo 3 beta invitation on the next version of sneakers.
Yeah.
Not that we're coming out with the new sneakers.
Nice way to say it. Right. I mean, I finished sneakers, didn't you? I beat it on Legendary with a dance pad.
Did you?
Yeah.
Look at
amazing.
You go.
Yeah. And then I think when you see the demo come out, it's really standing out on its own legs.
Yeah.
Now people are saying, "Hey, this is great. You know, I get a great game and I get this bonus."
How is that going to work?
The beta?
Yeah. In fact, is there a code inside or how does that work?
Well, some guy in Kentucky at Fort Knox knows when this beta is going to come out. I'm not sure when that is.
Yeah, you and I sure don't know.
But no clue.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I'd be first in line or maybe second.
Right.
You. All you got to do is you pop in your Crackdown DVD.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a little download
section
of your UI. It'll flash like new items available. Like it just started flashing that.
As if it's not going to show up on Joystick and Kotaku immediately.
Yeah, that's true. You can just do that. Right? Yeah. Or your RSS feed or wherever, wherever you get your neural network. And at that point, you'll be invited to download it. So there's 3 ways to get into the beta. I think 2 of the other ways are closed.
Yeah, they had those rule of 3.
More details on that stuff.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting, the fact that you're going to get this great game. What do you say to people that run up against the fact, well, what happens when I'm done with the game? Is the game over? Is it short? Is it a rental?
Is it a rental?
Yeah, that's what I get questions at a lot.
Well, I personally don't think it's a rental.
Right.
We've got, 40-something achievements in there. I think 43 achievements, maybe 42.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a long game, too. I mean, if you go and you play it on tough, which is actually the easiest difficulty level,
right.
It's still going to take you 12 to 15 hours.
Right.
If you play, and that's, you know, it's a significant chunk of time.
Sure.
If you play it on psychotic, which is the hardest level mm-hmm. difficulty, you're in for 20, 25, 30 hours of gameplay. And that's just all, both those figures are just to beat the core missions.
Right.
If you want to actually do all of the achievements,
right.
You know, that in itself is, you know, there are hours and hours on there. Is it as long as something like Oblivion? No, of course not.
Right. But what is?
What is, right. And that's an amazing game in of itself. But there's a lot of gameplay there. You know, some I've had some guys tell me, hey, I finished the game. And I'll be like, you did? And they're like, oh, yeah. And I said, well, let's check your achievements. How'd you do? And, you know, I'll check their achievements. And they beat all the missions. And they call that finish, you know. So if I scored a 40% on my next exam,
mm-hmm.
would you call that an achievement?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't think so. That's a good point.
Maybe if you go to Washington State or something like that. But anyhow.
Or the University of, or Penn State.
Oh, or Penn State. Because
I went to Syracuse, so
oh, you
Penn
did.
State
yeah,
was
there. You go. All right.
So the you talked about the achievements. What's and there's been a little buzz around there about Crackdown and what's going on with downloadable content. What's Dave and his team? What are they thinking about for downloadable content?
Oh, well, I know they're thinking about stuff. We haven't really announced anything at this point. Is what's going to happen with the downloadable content.
But one
content.
Would assume that there's going to be additional achievements to
there
fill
is,
the delta.
There is. We're not going to charge you for those achievements. Let's put that out there right now. So those achievements were held back basically because we kind of wanted to see what the community was going to do. And that might spark some ideas for some additional achievements as well.
Yeah. Do they like shooting bodies in the air? Do they like finding orbs? I mean, what are the achievements that most people...
And there's going to be stuff that we didn't ever even thought of that was just a great idea.
You
know? So... stacking objects to a certain height, you know, who knows, right?
Right.
So blowing up so many objects, I'm just a stupid marketer. I'm not a game designer, so there's smarter people out in the community than me that'll come up with some neat stuff.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can integrate some of that stuff in there. And there is downloadable content coming as well, too. We just, I don't have the details now to kind of give you anything isn't going to be speculative.
Because I was thinking like, wow, what are all the different things they could do with downloadable content? Because you've got this fantastic world already there. Just to layer some fun stuff on top of it. I can't wait
for
that.
Yeah, I've been pushing to have a new agent in there, right? So, like, I'd love to see Franklin Fizzlebear from Viva Pinata be an agent. I kid. No, I would like to see that, but anyhow, I kid.
I think the women are calling for a female agent.
Yeah, they are. And my understanding, and I'd love to, look at the... It's the third-person game, right?
Right?
So you'd be looking at the back of your character the whole time.
Of your super agent.
Of your super agent.
Oh, never mind. I'm having flashbacks to American Gladiator. Oh, God.
So anyhow, female agents would be a whole new dynamic. All new
but there's,
physics,
there's stuff
new animations.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, everything's possible, though.
Some of the achievements. From what you've seen, and obviously the testers, what do you think the hardest achievement to get is in the game, in your opinion?
The hardest achievement? Well, I'm trying to think of some of the ones I haven't gotten. And there's a few that I haven't gotten. Oh, there's completing like 6 car tricks, 6 stunts in 60 seconds.
I tried
had some
doing
trouble
that
with that one.
Yeah.
Certainly, probably the hardest one is going to be finding all the secret orbs. Now, the secret orbs are different than agility orbs.
And what are the difference?
So there's 300 secret orbs and 500 agility orbs. The agility orbs just affect your agility.
So these are the green ones that have different, they have different values.
Those are the agility ones, right. They're 1 through 4.
Yep.
The secret orbs are blue, mm-hmm. and they've got a question mark in the middle, and they're hidden in places that are hard to find, hence they're secret.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you power-ups, essentially, for all your different attributes.
So it's not just one... Everybody gets bumped up a level. It's different things. Is that the
way it doesn't just affect your agility. It'll affect strength or driving and weapons, explosives, all those sort of things. It give you little power-ups and all those.
So if you find all of the secret orbs and all of the agility orbs, you're going to be like some crazy mutant agent.
Yeah, you will. You'll be, at a point, you get to a point, though, where you become a max agent.
Right.
Which means you've maxed out all your attributes. And what happens is you actually get a little dash in each attribute, and that shows you that you've
So instead of 4 stars,
Four stars, yeah. You got to get to dash once you're beyond 4 stars. And then that's when
is that an achievement?
A max agent is an achievement,
oh,
yes.
Oh, okay.
You haven't got that either?
No, I don't
have
you're
that still
one.
A, you know,
lame.
Middle manager at this point.
I'm lame agent. Yeah. Wow. So that's going to be interesting. So when I'm max agent, what will happen? Am I just maxed out?
You're maxed out, achievement, you're unstoppable.
Right.
All that sort of stuff. You can hop into your buddy's games. And that's a fun thing to do, too, is when you once you're a Max agent and then you got a friend, hey, I just picked up Crackdown, come play with me. You can bring your Max agent over to your buddy's game, and he's just starting out, and it's so much fun. You know, you kind of stand in the back, maybe grab a sniper rifle, and as he's going in, you take out some guys that are bugging him.
And let's just be clear.
You're like Big Brother.
When you join his game, so when your guy is leveled up a couple levels and you join somebody who just started the game, your guy's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, physically, you don't get that sense because when you're playing by yourself, because he gets bigger. But when you're standing next to somebody who just started the game, you're a monster.
Mm-hmm.
You really are.
Yeah, it's like Ray Lewis just strapping into a Pop Warner football game or something.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. All right. So I had Shane Kim on the show last week, and I was raving about Crackdown.
Speaking of guys with a lot of agility.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, we need a Crackdown sequel. I know the game is just releasing right now, but this just game screams for a sequel, I hope.
So do I.
So
definitely,
do you.
Yes.
Yeah. So anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
You know, it was just great talking to you today. I hope everyone jumps out there and gets it.
Yeah, so do I. I think I know a lot of people that have downloaded the demo. So let's give the dates again, what's available.
February 20th in Americas.
So
February 22nd in Asia, and I believe that's also Australia, New Zealand,
okay,
and Japan,
okay,
and territories like Hong Kong, Taiwan.
And what's the third one?
And then 23rd in Europe.
I want to talk about Japan for a second.
Yeah.
It's a different name in Japan.
It is. It's called Riot Act.
Why is that?
It's because Crackdown was trademarked in Japan. Oh. Sega has a game that they did in the early 90s.
Uh-huh.
It's, I'm trying to think what it's similar to. Maybe like a Double Dragon.
Okay.
Except you might have, I can't recall, you might have weapons instead
okay.
of fists.
Okay.
And it's old arcade game, early 90s. I think it might have also been on the Genesis.
Right.
It has the strangest cover art you've ever seen in your life.
So Google for Crackdown.
Yeah,
Google for
check it out.
Crackdown.
I believe it's two words. They go crack,
space down,
and
okay.
we're just Crackdown. But, you know, the guys in the suits here told us that we couldn't do it in Japan, so we came up with the alternative name Riot Act. Everyone's happy. They even have different cover art out there in Japan.
But essentially it's the same game.
Oh, it's the exact same game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if there was anything else going
same
on.
Same game, just different name.
Okay, there you go. Craig, man, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I know people are going to go out and get Crackdown, so thanks for your time, and I'll have you on again.
You bet.
All right, I'll talk to you
all
soon.
Right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Craig. That was a lot of fun, and next week I'm hopefully going to get on somebody who does the audio for Crackdown. You know, the audio is really, really quite good in this game, and you know, that's one thing I like about where I work is I always get access to some fun stuff like the audio. Like I've put up the... You know, I put up the dashboard sound effects, like the download complete sound effect for people to download as a ringtone. So I was able to get my hands on the agility orbs. So the agility orb sound effect. So here's a nice version of the agility orb sound effect for you. Wasn't that nice and clean? You can use. I have that actually playing. I think as a notifier on my phone when I get a message. So it makes me feel strong. True story, though. I posted that up on the blog about how when I travel around campus, I think I can start jumping things, and a lot of people actually started picking up on that in the reviews. So Crackdown out this week. It's out on Tuesday. And then, of course, you hear Craig give the dates. It's going to be out simultaneously around the world in a couple different, you know, in Japan and, of course, Europe. Interesting story about Japan, wasn't it? That's why I like talking to these different people around the campus because, you know, they're working on the projects and they can give me the answers that I have the questions to. So a lot of stuff coming out in Marketplace this week. I don't know if you got a chance to take a look at it, but Marketplace has just been humming with activity, and no more is that more obvious than if you look over at the top 10 that I post each week, where I think was it three or four of the top games that I put up each week, their demos. That's pretty significant. So we had North America, we had some Borat, a theme and pictures go up for free. There's some, I talked about Gra 2 earlier on in the show, there's some Gra 2 gameplay videos, there's some Crackdown themes and pictures, those are not free. For Japan, we've talked about Riot Act, that demo is available now in Japan, which is Crackdown, but it's called Riot Act. Let's see, some RoboBlitz photos, Battlestar Galactica, and then we kind of go back for a while. I think we talked about the NBA Street Home Court. That demo's out. That demo's been out for a while. So lots of activity up on Marketplace, you know. And I must point out that I don't post. Marketplace has just become so crazy, and it has to a point. It's like weeds in terms of it's overtaken my blog. So I'm trying to kind of keep it in a only post the stuff on Marketplace that I think is, you know, high profile and important, like some of the demos and some of the free content that I think you folks would like. So I am not posting every single item because it's overwhelming. I think we all agree on that. So So I want to point that out. So Marketplace also going on. I talked about Google Reader. Do you guys want to see my shared items? Let me know. All right, let's do the name of the game, because we're really just pressed for time right now, because I don't like these shows going this long. But when I have great guests like I've had, then they do, and it leaves less time for me to talk, which you're probably happy about. So, all right, so here's the name of the game sound effect from last week. All right, a little bit harder this week, but that was History Channel, The Civil War. History Channel, The Civil War. So if you guess that, you're a winner. Who won this week? Let me pull out a name here. The gamer tag is Lyle89. Lyle89, congratulations. You grabbed yourself an Earforce X1 headset from Turtle Beach. I'll be in touch with you on how to claim your prize. And then I will give give everyone else a chance to guess this week's Name the Game sound. Now remember, Name the Game. It is not from a demo. It is not from a pre-release game. These games have to be released on shelves. So that's the parameters for the Name the Game sound clip. So here it is. All right, you think you know what that is? Send me an email, major@xbox.com. Include in the subject line, Name the Game, colon, and then your guess. And in the body, please put your gamer tag and optionally where you're from. Just so I can find out where you're from. I'd like to know where my listeners are from around this great planet Earth that we have here. So that's Name the Game for this week. Good luck. Time to wrap up the show here. We're kind of coming into a pretty quick ending here. Oh, before I forget, I got to do the Xbox 101 section. So it's time for Xbox 101.
Xbox 101 with Major Nelson. Yeah.
I don't know. Is that too cheesy? Funky Boss, you did a great job with that. I just don't know. What do you guys think? You think it's too cheesy? Let me know. No one commented on it last week, so it can't be that bad. But this Xbox 101 is brought to you by our friends at Bungie. Frankie reported over at Bungie.net last week about they're going to have a new button on Halo 3, and I actually made a post about this where they call it the a-hole button. In Halo 3, you're going to be able to mute people. Very quickly. You know, you're going to hit the back button and so on and so forth. I don't know. Frankie describes it. But here's the deal. You already can do that. Very simple. So press the guide button. Scroll down to the community section. Click to the right and press A on that little icon of the controller. That's what we call the recent players list. And then scroll down. Basically, the people that you recently played are towards the top. Scroll down to the person you want to mute. Click on them. Click mute. You're done. Very simple. And that will mute them whenever you run into them again. And it works across all different games and so forth. Some people have said, oh, well, it's not as fast this way and so on and so forth. Well, then we'll just have to make the guide faster now, won't we? Just let you know that that's how you do it. You can mute people very easily. And the other thing you can do is there's an option in the family settings to only have voice only for people on your friends list. And that actually is very helpful. So you can actually do flip that switch. And all of a sudden, when you're in games with other people, the only people you're going to hear are your friends. So that is the Xbox 101 for this week. It's how to mute people and how to only listen to your friends. Okay? All right. I don't have that many gadgets to discuss this week. I'm kind of slow in the gadgets department. Even though there was a major cell phone show last week over in Europe and tons of stuff coming out, I'm still kind of sift through that and figure out what to do there. Couple more things I want to mention before I go, and I didn't mention this during the Crackdown segment of the show, but there was a Crackdown community event a couple weeks ago here at the Xbox World headquarters, and we invited some community sites, fan sites from around the internet, and a lot of guys and girls came in. Wait a minute, were there any girls there? I don't think there were any girls there. So a lot of guys came in. They played some Crackdown. Craig, who you heard during my show, was able to kind of walk them through some of the high points of the game, and it was a lot of fun. I was able to Nelson, who runs his own podcast, Planet Xbox 360. He and Natalie do a great show over there, and so I was able. I was a guest on that show, so you can go over and take a look at that. I'll put a link on the blog to that. Also, the other thing I wanted to point out was that. The 360 Zine Issue 3 is now available. Issue 3 now. The 360 Zine is a really, really high quality PDF file that is free that you can go download from gamerzines.com, and I'm actually in that as well. You know, I hate talking about myself. Contrary to popular belief, I really don't like talking about the interviews and whatnot that I do, and I love talking to people. So go check out Planet Xbox 360 podcast with Nelson and Natalie. The real Nelson, because that's just my gamer tag, I guess.
And then, of course, Xbox 360, the 360 zine over at gamerzines.com, because you'll hear me in there. So actually, it's an interesting interesting magazine, because it's not a print interview. It is actually, it's an audio interview. I did an audio interview with James, and they put it in there. And this is a really kind of a cool thing, and I've talked about this before. You need to upgrade your whatever PDF reader you're using, because they do some fancy schmancy stuff in this in this 360 PDF file. I mean, there's just a lot going on. And this thing's really high quality. I can't say enough about it. So go ahead and download that. And what more? It's free. So go to gamerzines.com, click on the download 360 zine button, and you'll be off to the races. But I think it's time that we wrap this show up. So I want to thank my friends at Centricom.net for providing MajorNelson.com with a secure, assured hosting environment. You hear me say it each week, and I mean it. I also want to thank our friends at CashFly for their excellent services, making sure that they can that you can get this show and many more like it when you want it, where you want it, and how you want it. And we haven't had any problems since we moved to them. If you notice that, it's just like, bam, it's there. So CashFly services. So this is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading my show. Have fun, play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye. All right, hope you enjoyed the show. I don't have much for after show. You know, once in a while I'll put a bullet point or two down on my show notes to talk about in the after show, and I don't have that much. You know, I haven't said this in a while, but do me a favor. Go ahead and send E a friend's request. You haven't done that in a while. E is our director of operations, and he's the guy that keeps all this, his team. I don't want to say it's him. It's really his team. They keep all the servers up and running. Except the achievement contest ones, because they have nothing to do with that one. Also, if you get a chance, you can listen to... I appear each week on Sirius Satellite Radio on Maxim Channel 108. There's a video game show called Level Up. It's on 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific each Tuesday. It premieres, and then that show is rerun a billion times MTV style throughout the rest of the week on Maxim Channel 108. Is there a video game channel on XM? Because if there isn't, I think I want to be on that, or I want to get one going there. So anybody at XM that's listening, you got anybody work at XM? Email me, will you? Major@xbox.com. I want to talk to you about doing a show. Let's have some fun, right? I just want to continue, just want to be, everywhere and anywhere that I can possibly be. Let's see what else I'm looking for. I'm looking for has anybody found a good Zune podcasting client that works on Vista? I know there's a couple out there, and I can't seem to find one. So to work with my Zune, because it's not working. All right, I gotta wrap up the show now, because
My wife is rarely home on weekends because of her job, but she's home this weekend, and I'm going to go spend a little bit of time with her. And don't know. Probably go out and grab some lunch. So I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for downloading the show. Let me know what you think. If you have any show ideas, send me an email, major@xbox.com. I can't respond to every single one of those emails, but gosh darn it, I read them all, and I try to respond as much as I can. You guys are great. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.